90 minutes of pure footballing talk. A lot of big talking points presented themselves over the weekend, from international football to referee debates, and that it all came on the back of the transfer window slamming shut, as Jim White says in Sky Sport. I never understand why it just doesn't close gracefully. It never does. Joined in the studio by John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, David Downey from the Blue Room here in Radio City Talk. I'm delighted to be able to welcome into the studio, I think it's our first professional footballer on the show. Is it? I think it is. Ryan Lee.
Since you've done it, Connor, Lowy's been around the block, around this place. He come in before and he's like, what's the radio station called now? he's been used to it. He was back in 1974. He's getting on a bit now.
They've got to give you some good compliments, don't you? Good for me. Do you know what it was, Connor? My mates keep saying to me now, me and Dave had a chat about it a couple of weeks ago with the football. We disappeared for a bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Now, you live in Liverpool, Connor?
Just out the road.
Over the water or
the Manchester side
of the road. So you live in Manchester,
don't
you?
Over the 62, you mean?
Yeah, over the 62. Right, so anyway, and all my mates go, what's going on? Where's the station? And, you know, obviously, things change and people, new bosses come in and go and whatnot. And it's nice to be back, yeah. And we need to keep it because it's a good station.
We're very proud
of it. It's a good show.
We are. Thanks very much. That's the right way to start this.
He didn't take much persuading to bring it back. I've got to be honest. Not broke, you don't fix it.
No, and you'll get a bigger profile on it with us. We'll only give us
the biggest.
We'll rise your profile.
That's why I'm here. Right, lads, good to see you. First of all, thanks for coming in, because although it was the international break, we sort of go, it's not much happening. But there's just plenty of talking points, plenty of things happened sort of over the last 10 days. First of all, Ryan, I'm going to look at your expertise, right? So tell us exactly what you're doing now, not only a professional footballer, but you're starting to dip your toe into the murky world of coaching and managing.
Yeah, obviously, I've signed for Crewe this season. I've signed 12 months with an option of another in their favour in terms of, you know, if I do well, they'll reward me with a new contract. But in the meantime, I've got plenty of my coaching badges up to my UEFA B, which allows you to coach a professional club up to the Championship, I think it is, and kids football academies and whatnot. I've got a youth module, so they're all little things what I'm gathering to get coaching badges. Now people keep saying to me, do you want to be a manager? Well, eventually, yeah. Do you want to be a coach? Well, yeah, eventually. But I don't just want to jump in at the deep end. Like people have said to me, why don't you play for this job? You know, the Southport job's just come up. Why don't you apply for it? Well, why? I'm at a good club in Crewe, and going on to, I'm helping assisting the manager, Alex Morris, with the under-23s. So I'm going to learn my trade before, and when I do decide to finish, and then maybe I'll fall into a coaching role, whether it be a first-team coach, whether it be an under-23s coach, as it's called now. And then I'll bide my time before I want a manager's job, because people look at all the pros and go, he's after your job, he wants a job. That's not the case. I want to learn. I come in here, 7-8 years ago to learn. I'm still learning now, believe it or not. But that's what I want to do. I just don't want to jump in at the deep end and go, I want a job, because I'll probably be sacked after 4 or 5 games because I don't know.
But that's the thing, isn't it, John, from the Anfield Wrap? That's the thing about, if you get a coaching job now, or indeed a manager's job, you are going to get sacked. Yeah. It's no longer a matter of, will you get sacked or can you hold the job? It's pretty much 99.9% guaranteed at some stage you will get sacked. That's the way the footballing world works now.
No, it definitely is. You know, contracts are getting shorter, expectations are getting shorter, and patience is you know, getting shorter as well amongst football fans. And I think you look at even the best managers in the world now, Mourinho, Benitez, you know, they've all been sacked at some point. Klopp really got sacked by Dortmund, doesn't he? It was a nice goodbye and all that, but they wanted to change it. And so, you know, all the best ones get kind of sacked at some point, really.
So
and
are you ready for that, Ryan? Are you ready
to go
into a world?
This is what I was going to say, Connor, then, is I'm learning now, so I can make mistakes while I'm learning. And then hopefully, as we're talking about, eventually you will get sacked from wherever you are, unless you're Alex Ferguson and you're being given, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Now, there's not many of them now, as John's just said. You know, Mourinho, Klopp, these are good managers who have been sacked. Poor Pellegrini's been bulleted. He's in the Champions League every year, won the Premier League, you know, so it can happen. But in terms of where my future lies and where my future's going to go is, I want to make mistakes where, you know, I'll run Alfie's under 11's team. I can make plenty of mistakes there. and then, you know, I go to Crewe and I help out with the under-23s where you can make mistakes in terms of, you know, I don't do all the coaching methods and you know, the set piece and what. I'm just there to guide and help along. And eventually, I'll get my chance of doing that. But a big thing for me is I want a world-class manager.
Oh, bounce ball, that, isn't it?
It is. It's a difficult question to throw at me,
don't I?
I was expecting to just come here and field stupid questions about it. No, in all seriousness, you need to lay off the hair product of families.
Oh, he's coming for me.
He's had plenty
of experience. He does a bit of Avon and all that sort of thing.
Oh,
well.
It's Nivea, actually.
In all seriousness, though, whenever we've done shows in the past with Lowy and stuff, he's always spoken about the grassroots elements of football and not sort of running before he can walk, do you know what I mean? Whenever we've had shows, particularly when the international break's been on, funnily enough, when we've done features on grassroots and stuff like that, and obviously he's got a young lad whose team he coaches as well. I think he's going about it the right way in that you see a lot of people try and jump ahead, try and take liberties when they haven't quite learned the trade. And I'm sure Lowy will tell you, and I'm sure an experienced football manager will tell you right now that you never stop learning in the game. I don't think we never stop learning in our job, do we? Do you know what I mean? Every single day something will surprise us, and we'll have to make do with it and deal with it in a certain way.
So something has surprised quite a lot of football fans over the last 6 months or so is the sort of, it used to be called the Johnson's Paint Trophy, didn't it? It's been revamped and reworked now. It's a weird situation. Ryan, you're with us from Crewe. You could actually end up playing against Everton under 23s. Is that possible from your point of view?
Well, it's not possible for me, but in terms of, no. We were just talking about it off air. It's possible for Crewe to play them, but the thing is with Crewe, our team is probably the average age of 23, 24. There's only me and two of the lads that bring a sky high, because we've got plenty of young lads in there. Now, it's a good thing in terms of, how can I put it, how can I word it, in terms of these Premier League clubs, like Everton. Now, Everton could send any of their under-23s to any football clubs up and down the country to play league football, when there's been a few out and there's plenty have gone out on loan and have been sold, and plenty have gone out on loan and come back and done well. And so it does work in your favour either way. Now, with this cup, the only good thing is it comes out at best for likes of Everton and the bigger teams, because they can just stick to a pattern. You can stick to a project of where they want these kids to do go and how they want them to go, because not only are they playing football, but two, they're in the shot window as well, John. Yeah. You know, because then they think, oh, I'll tell you what, he's playing League 2 or League 1 football, because they're the two leagues you're in this cup. Well, for argument's sake, Everton got beat off Bolton 3-1, was it 3-1?
No, they beat
Bolton 3-1. Now, look, Bolton are a decent-sized club, you know, not top of the Premier League, the top of the league, yeah, and then at League One. So Phil Parkinson, their manager, would be thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I like him. So come the end of this trophy, Phil Parkinson could have three players on his knee, on his board in the room to say, I want to sign him. So Everton could potentially earn a couple of hundred grand out of it in terms of selling the players or potentially loaning them.
I think that's counterproductive, though, because
I do tend to agree with you.
Because
there, yeah.
I first of all, I think it waters down lower league football by teams having B teams in it, and you can enter trophies. I mean, you see it in other sports when men enter women enter men's competitions in golf. People think, you know, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? The reason why I don't think this one doesn't work is because those under 23 lads that are going and playing for Everton, why can't they go and ply the trade out on loan?
Yeah,
like you've just said there. You know, why not? Phil Parkinson might well sit there and think, oh, that Kieran Dow looks good. Conor McAlay,
I'll take him on loan.
He looks decent, I'll have him on loan. But why would Everton then loan him if they know that there's a framework for success by letting these lads feature in that trophy?
But from an Everton point of view, though, doesn't that give the manager the best of both worlds? You can think, well, the training here all week, the training under our coaches to learn how to play our way, but they also get to test themselves, you know, at a decent level. So
yeah,
I understand why the clubs want to do it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but from an Everton point of view,
why aren't Liverpool there?
I'm surprised they're not, to be honest, because I would have thought that this is something that the big clubs have pushed for, because Liverpool have talked in the past about having a team in the lower leagues. That's what a lot of the clubs want, and that's why this concerns, because I think it's the first step along the way to getting B teams in the lower leagues, like they have in Germany, like they have in Spain. And so, you know, having a Liverpool B playing in the third or fourth tier, whatever, this feels to me like the first step to that, which worries to me. But why Liverpool haven't, I'm not quite sure, because Liverpool have complained a lot as a club about reserve football, about how it's not taken seriously enough, about it's not a bad test, and there was a test there open for it, and they haven't gone for it. So I am really surprised.
The ultimate aim of it is obviously to, and the ultimate moan about it initially, John, yeah, was to get competitive football or a better level of competitive football for reserve players, for under 23 players, for youngsters to get, because the old reserve league, as we all know, it was brilliant. I remember going to a mini derby at Goodison. Yeah. It was like 20,000 people there. It was 4-4. It was some of, you know, you're watching real stars. Now it's used for players that are either surplus to requirements, coming back from injury, or your ones that are developing, and they're playing at Finch Farm or at Melwood in front of the crowd.
They played them at the grounds.
One man and his dog. Yeah, and I think that's a bonus to it. That is a real bonus.
Well, here's a catch for you. We've just signed a young lad from Everton, who's in the under 23s to play in our under 23s. That's not competitive in this cup.
He's gone from a 23 side that potentially would be in this cup to play for your 23s who aren't in this cup because your first team's in the cup. Yeah. So is he like, is he going to get
well,
any football?
Well, basically, it's a young lad called James Yates. We've just signed him. He hasn't been in yet, so we haven't met him because we've been off today with the results Saturday and, you know, we've had lots of games. But we've signed him now to, he potentially will be on the bench for the first team, you know what I mean? Because we have only got a small squad. But he's come to Crewe to play under 23 football because he's down the pecking order of John Joe Kenny, maybe. He's a right back, full back, this kid. Now, he's come to Crewe to play under 23 football. Look, listen, you know, the kid might be a good player and could potentially force his way into the first team. I think that's probably what his hopes are going to be. But Everton have loaned him to us because he's not going to play many games in their under 23s in this.
Is that not farming players though?
Yeah, because it goes to a point where you think, well, how many players do I actually need?
Yeah, and you look at going
to the Chelsea situation.
Exactly,
well,
I was going to say
going
to the top level. Chelsea do that, loan players out. They just accumulate players, loan them all. I mean, when's the last time Victor Moses signed a new contract? He's basically out on loan every season. Do you know what I mean? I think he loaned Cuadrado to Juventus for 3 years. A three-year loan. I think it's destroying lower league games. And like I said, I think it does water it down in the fact that you can have gone play in a professional competition. And I can see why fans are boycotting it. I think there was a protest on Twitter where you could boycott the Czech Trade Trophy or whatever it is called.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold on. We'll come back to this in a bit. We'll take a quick break. Just in a word, I think they're going to trial it for the year. I think they're going to sort of see how it goes, good bits, bad bits. John, Ryan, David, is it going to work?
I think they'll carry it on. So, yes.
I can't see it working after this season, though.
It'll work, but it'll gradually destroy low league football.
Right, there you go. Any views at Radio City Talk, drop us a tweet, 01517 away at 1059, if you want to give us a buzz, or text the word talk to 61025. Back in a second to talk about something I know specifically David Downey's very excited about, his international football. Big Sam at the helm. Look at the smile on his face.
This is Full Time. Radio City Talk.
5:25 across Merseyside. I'm Connor Phillips, joined by John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, Ryan Lowe, professional footballer with Crewe, and David Downey from the Blue Room. This is All in the Game as we just sort of sift through some of the big sporting / football stories. We've already touched on this new trophy that is happening, which is some under 23 teams taking on some of the lower league teams. It's pretty much the Johnson's Paint Trophy being rehashed, and it's got very passionate in the studio about this. But listen, we're going to change tack, we're going to move ever so slightly, sashay to the left if you like, and chat about Big Sam's first game in charge of England. Now, a few things we can talk about, but let's just, did you all watch the game, obviously? So what
no.
Dave's sitting there with his head in his hands, just glumping.
I'll be honest, I said to you before, Connor, I watched Scotland instead.
But why?
Well, there were 6 goals in the game, so I won for the start.
There's 4 gibbies.
It's just the same dross that we saw in the summer. He made, 3 changes?
I was surprised by that. I was surprised he didn't change more. 8 of the players who started terrible Iceland game started again. I'm surprised he didn't move more. It's the same formation. It's still Harry Kane on his own up front, not looking like he, you know.
And how bad was Harry Kane in the Euros?
Yeah.
He's not picked on merit.
And he wasn't great yesterday either.
I can understand it as well.
He ain't been great start of the season.
And I can understand it. And it was easily predictable that he'd do this because the FA have hired a glorified version of Roy Hodgson, and that's being kind to Sam Allardyce, I think.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think I don't think he's a good manager. I think
he does
a job for relegation threatened sides, and I think that's the limit of his abilities because that job needs an authority, an authoritative figure in charge. Now, people think Sam Allardyce is one of them. He is when it comes to relegation fights, but just put a scenario to you. You being a player, Lowie, let me ask you this, right? You play at Man United now, right? Or City, let's say City. Every single week, every single day, you're training with Pep Guardiola, regarded as probably the best manager in the world, arguably, And then you're given the international nod and you go and train with Sam Allardyce. What is motivating you, aside from the fact you're playing for your country and all of that nonsense that comes with it, what is motivating you to go and play for Sam Allardyce when you're playing stunning football, all this ticky tacky stuff?
I'm hoping I can just nail this in one year.
Go on. Right. Don't say the Three Lions.
No, look, for one, you represent your country. And for two, you're playing on a big stage in terms of world football. But then, I don't think you should need any. I don't think.
But that's what they've been lacking, isn't it? That is what.
I don't think there's
it
many.
It shouldn't matter about the personnel, surely. It's just you. Yeah. To go.
I don't think you can
to
coach.
That level.
But either side of the personnel thing, they've failed. They failed with a high profile manager in Cabello. They failed in a low key one in Hodgson / McLaren.
Do you know what I think happened? What's the answer? You know what I think happened with Hodgson? And I'll move swiftly on to Sam Allardyce. Do this, do that. That's what it was with Hodgson, I think, and I feel. Because you could see it in the way they played. There was no free football. There was no free-flowing football. You know, Allardyce is saying, I'll give Wayne Rooney a free role. Yeah, I think you should give someone like Wayne Rooney a free role. But I still think you need two strikers up the pitch to potentially get your goals. Now, I think Sam Allardyce, I do agree with you. He's probably not the best coaching style tactician manager. But he's a good man manager, yeah?
Mm.
No? Yeah.
But is he? This is one of the things we'll see.
I think 100% he is. For one, how many smiles did you see on the player's face? I said that this morning. The radio was on with Steve Odersole this morning. Smiling.
Yeah.
What did it mean to them? It looked like they won a game in the Euros. The celebration at the end. Rooney's jumping up in the air, and they've all ran over the benches.
They're smiling because they score an 85th minute goal against a pretty poor side.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think you'd have seen that under Roy Hodgson. I know personally, I won't name any players, but I know personally, people didn't like going to Roy Hodgson's camp. It was glum, it was dour, it was, boring.
But I'll tell you,
same old. I think with Sam Allardyce, I think what you're going to get out of him, a bit of honesty, a bit of a giggle, a bit of a comedian in
Paddy
terms
McGinnis
of,
we'll go to the sport now in a second. Just going to give you some stats just on your point there that it could be different. Shots on target the last time England played Slovakia compared to last night, 5-5. Total shots, 20 this time, 30 under Hodgson. Possession, around 60% this time, around 60% the last time. Territory, exactly the same. Passes, there was only 10 passes in it, as in Hodgson had 10 more passes for the England setup, and pass success exactly the same. It's pretty much, give or take one or two things, exactly the same performance.
The best thing about that is someone's put one of them things on Facebook and Twitter where they've got like a Scooby-Doo mock-up, and you know when they go and rip the mask off, and they've ripped Sam Allardyce's mask off and it's Hodgson underneath it. That's exactly what's going on.
Well, listen, hold on. Just hold there for a wee second. We'll get the sport now with David Sanderson. We'll be back in a second, right? I want to hear from you on this at Radio City Talk 0151 708 1059. Is Big Sam the answer? Because I think we've got very differing views here in the studio. But let's head over to David Sanderson and see what's happening in the rest of the sporting world.
This is Radio City Talk Sport.
England captain Wayne Rooney thinks that Adam Lallana's late winner against Slovakia was well deserved. It was the Liverpool forward's first goal for his country on his 27th appearance, and Rooney says it'll do him a world of good.
I think it was a great goal. He was unlucky with his chance, which hit the post, and I think his movement for his goal was great. Little turn and a good finish, so hopefully he'll kick on from now and get a few more for us.
Tonight, Wales set out in what they hope will be another successful qualifying campaign. Their first match in their quest to reach the 2018 World Cup finals is against Moldova in Cardiff. Boss Chris Coleman says he's not afraid to mix things up after a successful Euros tournament.
We're constantly looking to get better and looking for different ways to achieve whatever the challenge is in front of us. We're constantly looking at ways of bettering what we've done and taking what we need to take. So if that means a change of personnel or a change of formation, and what the group we know, the group we have, what we know is they're adaptable.
Liverpool forward Sadio Mane is back in training at Melwood and is reported to be fit and well. There had been concerns he'd picked up an injury while on international duty. And Wirral cyclist Steve Cummings just missed out on winning stage two of the Tour of Britain. Belgian Julien Vermoot took it and he now has the overall lead too. He's 6 seconds ahead of Cummings in the general classification. Sir Bradley Wiggins is a long way back. And that's your sport. I'm David Sanderson.
This is Full Time. Radio City Tour.
Just after 5:30 across Merseyside, it's Monday afternoon into evening. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time, and every single Monday for 90 minutes, it's almost a game within a show. I'm joined by some of, I suppose, the most outstanding contributors and commentators in the world of football. With me this evening from the Anfield Rap, John Gibbons joins me, professional footballer with Crew Alexandra, Ryan Lowe, and from the Blue Room here on Radio City Talk, David Downey joins me as well. Now, we're having a chat about Sam Allardyce. Whoa, it got heated during that as well. I love this. So some of the room thinking that Sam could be the right answer, some not so. John Gibbons from the Anfield Rap, let me throw this one at you.
He's got splinters, we're sitting on the fence there.
Right. I'm going to have to get away from you two.
Did you notice that's why I directed it? I realise these two are going to get at each other. Right, listen, Big Sam, this baffles me today. So, Wayne Rooney, free roll, number 9, number 10, where are you playing him? Big Sam comes out with, and I quote, "It is not for me to say where Wayne Rooney plays." You're the manager.
Yeah.
That's kind of your job.
Yeah. Well, that's it. He also said that I think Wayne knows more about international football than I do, which is a bit of a worry as well. It worried.
There's my point.
It worried me when he came in that he hasn't got the reputation of dealing with the biggest stars. You know, the players he's had at Bolton. Yeah, he's had a few towards the end of the career and things like that. But, you know, he hasn't dealt with the big stars, the big names, you know, you people who've won European Cups and Premier League trophies and things like that. And he's come in and I was hoping that, well, maybe you'll see him kind of stamp his authority. And he seems to be a bit overawed by these people who've achieved more, you know, the Wayne Rooney. Oh, well, I don't want to tell him what to do. We sort of have to, really. And I'm a little bit surprised by that, but I wasn't particularly surprised by the football because, as Dave says, it was poor. And that kind of frustrates me a little bit because I'm not necessarily negative on England. I want to see him do well because I think it, the England football team can inspire young people to get, you know, to go out and play football and can inspire. And you just see the football that we've played under the last few managers, really. And it's a shame because I think there's real attacking talent there. And I think there are players who'd like to be, you know, kind of let off the leash a little bit. And, you know, you see it, a lot of these players are playing at top level in Premier League and playing for attacking teams and they can do it. And it's just such a shame, you know, your first shot on target for England was 65 minutes in, and yeah, the I managed to have a bit of a go when Slovakia went down to 10, but I'd just like to see them, you know, because they can't win every tournament, so they can't win any tournaments at the moment, so at least go out there and, you know, and try and attack and entertain and maybe kind of fill the fans with a bit more pride and kind of look to inspire a little bit more rather than, you know, watching last night, you'd go and play golf or something, wouldn't you, if you were a kid.
So I'll drop this bomb between you two. If you're given the opportunity to look after the England setup, what would you do? Ryan, first of all, David, feel free to argue with him as much as you want during this.
No, I just think that them England players that we've just been talking off air then, that they're all quality footballers. Now, I don't think they need much coaching. I just think they need maybe tinkering a little bit in terms of... But what I want to see is that, look, I'm the same. I'm an England fan, but... You know, I like to give people a chance. I want to give Sam Allardyce the best possible chance because I like him as a bloke. He is what he is, and he's done great jobs in the Premier League, and he's kept teams up and he's saved. Yeah, he's earned the right to be England manager, I think, because there's not many out there who may want it or who you could give it to. You know, you definitely want Englishmen, but I think the England team and England setup just need tinkering a little bit. I just think England should go out, them players, and listen, this is more on the players than most, really. They've got to go out and give it their all rather than worrying about what's behind and what the fans are going to say, what he's going to say, because you see them come into their own teams in the Premier League and they run amok. Mm. You know, you see players outstanding and they go to England and they fall by the wayside. Now, that for me is a task in its own for Sam Allardyce to get these players doing what they do best on a Saturday afternoon.
But that is right. That saying that there's they only needs tinkering, that's exactly right. But then contrast that with, you've got Sam Allardyce, and how many of the Premier League's managers would you say are better managers at football than Sam Allardyce?
Out of the 20 teams.
Out of the 20 teams, how many of them have better managers than England?
You'd be talking, in my head, I'm thinking at least 12.
I wasn't even thinking that many.
I don't think it's as many.
I don't think it's that many. But I think you're looking at least half a dozen probably the top six or seven. You're looking, let's go, Guardiola, Mourinho, Conte, Koeman, Klopp.
Then I think you have to think
looking at maybe, I don't know, the rest is debatable. The point I'm trying to make is, Lowy's exactly right there. They just need tinkering because they're playing under some of the best managers in the world. Then they go to England and are told something completely different. No, they don't go to England and people are saying, well, just do something slightly different to what you do at your club side, or I want you to play like you do for your club. They're going there and being told completely different tactics, things, yeah. Completely different ways of playing.
But that's international football.
That's international football. But the problem for me starts at the top in the FA. They've got a marketing director picking the manager for the start. Nobody in football. I think
he
consulted Stuart Lancaster, the failed England rugby head coach, for who should be the manager.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What's
there?
What's going on there?
That's wrong. I think they should have. Well, I don't know whether they did. There was rumours that they approached Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham, and Ferdinand, and all these players who represented England now.
But I still think the wider issue you were on about with the pressure and things like that. I think that clouds their judgment because. You go to a Steven Gerrard, or okay, maybe not now that he's playing in LA and is not under the spotlight as much. You go to him and say to him, who would you want to manage England? Is Big Sam the right man? He tell all of us on the radio station right now that Big Sam is the right man, but if we went to the pub with him, and had an honest conversation with him, he'd say, why
but
is
he's going to have that?
He would say,
have
I
that
think.
Honest conversation with the FA, sure.
No, but he's not, though. That's why, because there's a culture of
I know, but
yes,
I think,
people. There's a culture of let's not rattle the cage here. Let's do what we should do and how people want us to act in the public eye. And the irony in that is they're always criticised anyway.
Let's look at the positives, right? I'm going to look at a couple of Merseyside positives.
Six days till the Premier League comes back.
In the form of Adam Lallana, his first goal for England, and also John Stones, both from all reports, excellent games. I saw like about 70 minutes of it and it was all in the background.
Yeah.
We had an interesting day yesterday, let's put that we had an enjoyable day in a bar, let's just say. So I watched a little bit. So when
Tipperary was it?
Talk about exactly. That's where I was. And congratulations to Tipperary, All Ireland hurling winner. So anyway, hello to hurling fans who are listening. Lallana scoring his first goal for England. Many people coming out today saying he is probably his best game in an England shirt. Rattled the post, created some work for the goalkeeper as well. This can only be good for his Liverpool career.
Yeah, played really well, I thought him. And Stones played well. It's amazing what Stones can do when the Gladys Street gets off his back, isn't it? But
shot of being fired.
But with Lallana, I thought first half he was the best player, and then on the pitch, and then second half he pushed on again with, you know, as you said, the one that hit the post, but also his late goal. And it's great to see that because I think I've been reading Si Hughes's new book, and when he's talking about, he talks to players who come into the 21st century and
Ring of Fire in all good bookshops.
That's the
now.
One. I thought it was interesting what he said when he was talking to Xabi Alonso, and Alonso was talking about bravery, and he was saying bravery is not just going in for big tackles, it's wanting the ball, it's keep asking for the ball, even when maybe you're not playing well. And I think that's what Lallana kept doing, you know, he wants to win the game, and he wants to win the game for his team, and I think that's bravery, that's taking responsibility onto yourself, and so I think it's one of those goals that gets better the more you see it, because he shifts it quick, and then he hits it early, and that's, you know, Lowy will tell you, if the goalie's not quite set, then that's the best time to hit a ball, and I was really pleased just to see him not just score the goal, but at the time he did, and to take that responsibility on, because it's the easiest thing in the world just to pass to your teammates.
Lowy, we have about 30 seconds on this one. John Stones, is this the rejuvenation of John Stones? He's played a couple of games for Manchester City, straight back into the England setup, and had a decent game.
I think he is, yeah, because he's, you know, as Dave said, Guardiola, one of the best managers in the world, he's brought him in to play football. John Stones is not an excellent defender. Ashley Williams, who they just replaced, is an excellent defender. He put his body on the line. John Stones, I not really see him do that, but he's an excellent footballer. And just going back to England, that's why Big Sam's playing him, because England will potentially try and play off in the back if you've got him in your team. Mm. Otherwise, you don't pick him.
Right, transfer window has been slammed shut, as they say in Sky Sports, and we've had a lot of fun with it over the last sort of 10 days or so. Who has done best? How have the red side of Stanley Park done? How have the blue side of the same park done? Is it about Bolasie? Is it about Mane? Or is it about Manchester City, Chelsea or Manchester United? We will explore that in full straight after these.
This is Full Time. Radio City Talk.
5:46 across Merseyside. This is All in the Game. 90 minutes of solid football chat every single Monday afternoon into evening. I'm joined by John Gibbons from the Anfield Rap, professional footballer and a man who's steadying his way into the world of coaching and managing, from Crewe Alexander. Ryan Lowe's with me, and and David Downey's with me as well. Now, just I will warn you, folks, there has been a bag of what are the wine gums open in front of us, so it does sound like there's a giraffe in here trying to chew on the cud. You will understand.
He
why.
Knows I'm on a diet.
I'm staying professional.
As am I, Joe.
When I first come on this show years ago, right, I replaced John Dernan on the show. He used to have a show, didn't he, on... was it Friday night or Monday?
It was Friday night.
So Peter McDowell got me in. And I come in, let alone I'd have a game the next day. I come in and there was biscuits, sweets.
Like a confectionery.
Stewie Barlow used to bring them in. And I thought, woof. So I thought, they're no longer here no more. So they're no longer on the show or anything. So I thought, you know what? Well, so when we used to have our shows, they may always bring a bag of sweets or something, a bag of chocolate, just something to steady us through.
Yeah, we'll get through, but I'd prefer you did it during the break. Anyway.
No, we'd crack some open when we come back.
Right, listen, we said we'd chat about the transfer window. We need to address this Jim White / Farid Mazeri thing, right? Because it was just so odd and strange. So, Jim White, a couple of days, this is Jim White in Sky Sports I'm talking about, yeah. And I've heard he's doing a different project now as well. So, Jim White, a couple of days before the transfer window closes, he posts a video saying, I've just had a text from Farid Mashiri saying, there's big stuff happening in Everton, watch this space. So going, grand, Jim being Jim.
He's trying to take him off now, isn't he?
Right, so you see that and you go, okay, fair enough, he might know Mazeri from his time at Arsenal and, you know, he's been in the game a long time. So we can take that as read. So nothing happens in the transfer window. The whole situation gets messy. With the young man who ended up at Spurs, right?
Sissoko.
And you're thinking, right, okay. And then Dave from the Blue Room, you're frustrated with this as well. A statement appears on Jim White's Twitter account from Mazeri saying it's all about the family club and James McCarthy. Now, give us your view on it. I'll find the quote. I'll read it out for you in a second, but it's so strange.
It was bizarre when I first saw it. I thought this can't possibly be true. And we later found out that it was due to, I think the Echo contacted the club or Jim White, and it was confirmed that it was true. And we later found out what the fallout was from what actually happened on the day. And I mean, it's still frustrating now that Everton aren't operating properly. Given the fact that there's meant to be an overhaul, a new way of thinking, a new era, you know, all of the above, really. And that hasn't shone through yet. It has in certain facets of it. I mean, they've done decent business. They sold Stones for an astronomical amount of money. They've gone out and invested that on players. A lot of fans disappointed with this apparent 100 million war chest that was there before John Stones was even sold. We've yet to see any of that so far.
Does it feel like Groundhog Day?
No, it doesn't, because I think that I can give them the benefit of the doubt looking on it with hindsight at this point, and that might sound a little bit naive, much the way that they were naive, but you looked at still trying to break the club's transfer record within half an hour to go on a deadline day. So, that's not a positive, by the way, because I'm asking the question that something that's meant to be a well-oiled machine by now is still scraping around for players at 10:30 on a deadline.
This is the question. Is this what they were trying to do? So this is Mazeri's quote here, which has never, to this day, would it be right in saying, hasn't appeared on any official Everton site or Everton
He classes, from my understanding anyway, he classes Jim White as a personal friend,
right,
who he's decided to do this through.
This is the statement on Jim White's Twitter account, using his mobile phone. You know, you take a wee photograph of your notes. This is genuinely what it is. If you haven't seen that, it's here. Sissoko is a great player, but when I bought into Everton, I made it clear I was proud to join a family, and we don't turn our backs on our own. Despite the fact Everton bought James McCarthy from Wigan. Keeping James McCarthy was a priority and ultimately could not proceed with a deal that would jeopardise his place at Everton. We wish Sissoko the best. I just don't see this being a real reflection. Ryan, you're a professional footballer, of the footballing world, I'm afraid.
I think he knows now deep down he's made a big mistake.
Covering his back.
It's lost in transfer.
I just think he could have, you know, look, I'm a Liverpool fan, but Everton are close to my heart. They put me on the map from, you know, football and era to get to where I got to. And I've got a lot of time for Everton, albeit we have banter and the Blues and the Reds and whatnot. But for me, the Everton fans at the time, I spoke to a lot of them, were buzzing with it. Think, oh, yeah, we're going to do this now. Deep down, I don't think they'd have really wanted that. I think deep down they'd have wanted to pay decent enough money, but not blowing, you know, breaking the transfer record for someone like Sissoko. Is he worth £30-odd million? I don't know. Is Bolasie worth £30-odd million? Well, in this day, the prices say that they are, but I don't think they are. I don't think deep down, a couple of years ago, you would be paying £30 million for any of them two players. And I think he's made a big oodoo in not putting a statement out on the official Blues website saying, look, just to clarify to all the fans, we are hoping to going to be busy. That's a professional football club in Everton. They should have done it properly. Now, all right, yeah, it's all right sending friends, you know, Jim White a text to say, look, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, oh, can I use it? Now, he might have said that tongue-in-cheek to Jim White, and Jim White's gone, can I use it, and thought he's going to be the best man on Sky Sports and, you know, man of the month and whatnot, you know what I mean, as he always is in these transfer deadline days. But I think he's deep down now, either Jim White or Moshri, whoever, they've made a big hiccup on this.
Sissoko going to Spurs in the end, I think, has he come out officially and said, well, I was never really that interested in Everton? Is that the situation? And, you know, where does this leave Everton now if there's a couple of results that don't go their way now? Is this sort of lack of trust and faith that Dave spoke about before, is it going to start creeping in?
I think Liverpool and Everton are both in a similar situation on the transfers, in that they were 18th and 19th in terms of spend over the summer.
Two of a couple only had profits, John.
So only three clubs had profits, and two of them were Liverpool and Everton. And so that brings this problem, because fans want transfers. Fans want to see, you know, the money they're spending out on the pitch. You know, they're paying a lot in tickets and things like that. They know how much the TV revenue is, and they don't want to see it get, for owners to get wealthy or investors to get wealthy. They want to see it out on the pitch, which is fair enough. And I don't think, you know, money's always a solution. I think Everton actually dodged a bit of a bullet in Sissoko personally, because if he doesn't want to be there, then I don't think Everton should be going after that sort of player. I think both Everton and Liverpool, and that's what I like about Liverpool's business this summer, is they've gone after people who really want to play for the club, and I think that shows in terms of how they've started and their attitude to join. And I think Sissoko, if he's going to mess them around like that, what's he going to be like, you know, when it comes to January and they may be struggling or whatever? I think they dodged the bullet. But I understand fans' frustrations, because they want to see the money on the pitch. They want, you know, they don't want to see it sat in the bank. They want to see the talents out there. Yeah. And so I think that's where they get... So I think Liverpool and Everton, if things go well, then everyone will be fine and say, well, you know, well, we've got the right players in. If things start to go badly, then people might be saying, both fans might be saying, well, why didn't we spend more in the summer? We had the money, you know, we've both been told, you know, about, you know, there's, we can compete for anyone. That's what Liverpool fans have been hearing. That's what Everton heard when new ownership, and then, you know, to not spend money to actually make a profit in a transfer window, it does put more pressure on a football club.
So I'm gonna address the rest of the Premier League clubs in a second, but does this justify something that Arsene Wenger's been doing for a couple of years? Does this then justify that, and then on the back of that, who else has done well out of the transfer window?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, Arsene Wenger he goes in for a lot of criticism, doesn't he? But what he does, mate, is he gets them in the top four every year. He has a little go at the Premier League sometimes. I think, does he really want this Premier League title? Because he throws it away that many times. But yeah, he won't go and play silly money. And I think with Everton, I don't really know. I'm not a fan, but some fans will be happy with it and some fans won't. I just think Everton Football Club need to be a bit more discreet in the business. Now, look, he's got all this money. Well, we haven't seen it yet, and Everton haven't seen it. They've just sold Stones for 50 million quid. They bought Bolasie. They bought Williams. You know, they're not... They've probably spent £50 million, have they, Dave?
In net spend? No, well, they've recouped what they spent on Stones. It's almost that, exactly. Yeah. It's balanced out. The point that I want to make about it is there's a way of looking at how Everton have conducted themselves since Martinez was sacked, which was a long time coming for many, after the 4-0 hiding at Anfield before the FA Cup semi-final.
Let's go.
It should have happened then.
it's started. Well, it's started.
Things have got better since then, thankfully.
Sure.
Well, we have a minute before the news.
So what I want to put it in a nutshell is, you look at the conviction and even the arrogance that Everton showed in getting Mashiri and Steve Walsh to the club. They went and poached them off Southampton, who were in a good place, who were in Europe. They went and got Ronald Koeman from Southampton under the noses of them. Nobody was happy about it. That's showing financial clout. They went and did it with Steve Walsh, Premier League champion, went and got him, put him in place. That deal, I believe, was done directly by Farhad Mashiri. You look at Everton's complacent effort in the transfer window, you look at how hesitant they were with certain moves on deadline day and before that, I don't think that was done by Farhad Mashiri. Read between the lines if you think who I'm talking about here, but I think the same faces are trying to conduct that business while you've got Farhad Mashiri conducting a different set of business. I think you won't see the same mistake happen again.
We have no confirmation on this whatsoever, so if Everton want to get in touch, doesn't let us know.
That's just my opinion.
That's your opinion, of course, and always welcome here, specifically during All in the Game. You listen to All in the Game. I'm joined by John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, Ryan Lowe, professional footballer and soon to be manager with Crewe Alexander. Not saying you're going to manage Crewe Alexander, but manage with someone else.
Get in trouble there.
And David Downey from the Blue Room. In a second, we're going to dip in, have a little talk. I'm really keen to talk about the professionals in the game, the man in the middle, right? I want to talk about officials because there's a breaking story over the weekend. Gary Neville jumped on it. A couple of referees had to come out and make a few comments, and I'm really keen to get a professional footballer's view on it. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we do anything else, sweets time, is it? Is it sweets time? Can we go for the sweets? So sweets time, we'll be back straight after the news.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Nearly 6:05 across Merseyside. I'm Connor Phillips and this is Full Time. But it is a 90-minute section within Full Time because it is Monday afternoon into evening and this is All in the Game. I'm delighted to be joined by John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, Ryan Lowe, professional footballer with Crewe Alexander, and David Downey from the Blue Room. Love to be able to bend both your ears for this. David Downey will be back with us in a second. I'd love to be able to just bend your ear, John and Ryan, about this. Gary Neville has called for an investigation after former top referee Mark Halsey made an explosive claim that he was told by superiors to overlook some controversial incidents. I think in essence it's the, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. So they're saying to them, look, if there's a big push or it's too dramatic, just say you didn't see it. This is what.
So we can suspend them after.
Yeah. So what do you make of this? How reliable do you think this information is? I know Halsey has been very outspoken against the refereeing setup. Neville's asked him and sort of stood up to him and questioned him. And he says, well, it is in essence true. So what does this do in the season that they're trying to bring these new rule developments in and better relationship with referees?
I think it all comes from the fact that they seem scared for referees to say they made a mistake, and I don't understand that. I think this is this idea that they've got themselves into a mess because they want to punish bad behaviour and they want to punish elbows and things like that, quite rightly, but they don't want a referee to come out and say, oh, I made a mistake, because they think it undermines them and it adds pressure on them. And I don't think it does. I think if a referee come out and held their hands up and said, look, you know, I saw it, I didn't think it was that bad, but having another look, it looks bad, so I'm quite happy for the FA to go away and to increase the punishment I give at the time. I think that's totally fine, and I think they've just got themselves in a bit of a mess there because they think, oh, people will criticise referees more if they come out and say they made a mistake, but I don't think they will. Referee mistakes are generally very low. You know, we focus on when they happen, but when you actually look at a game and look back, the amount of times and I've been in the crowd and I've called the referee for everything, and then when you've looked back, he's got it right. And, you know, and it happens all the time. Linesmen get it right 97% of the time or something like that, statistic. So they're getting it right a lot of the time. So I think if they were to come out and say more, you know, I just made the mistake there. I saw it. I didn't think it was too bad, but looking again on the video, why can't they be involved in the video process? And it just frustrates me because they've got themselves in this mess now where ref has to say, oh, I didn't see, I was looking the other way to punish them. And then it all looks almost corrupt when it isn't really. They've got themselves down a kind of cul-de-sac.
How have you got on with referees during your career?
Do you know what? I get on quite well with them, to be fair. And there's a lot of good referees, and there's a lot of young, new, up-and-coming referees. I'm just trying to look for his name now. We had a Premier League referee, Saturday. Tough fella. His name will come to me at the minute. And he was fine. I'm captain, so he's talking to me, Lowy, tell him to watch the pulling, this, that and the other. Anyway, he give a penalty against us for pulling in the penalty box, which I'm a fan of it, in all honesty, because when you're my size and you're not really a big lad, you're just getting pushed and pulled at left, right and centre. So I feel sometimes pulling your shirt, and I feel sometimes the defenders need punishing for it. Now, we were on the opposite end of that, so we got given a penalty against us. But I went over to the ref and said, are you sure that was a bit? He went, Ryan, 100%. I went, fine, no problem. So sometimes you can't say it, but I've spoke with referees. John was saying then about you getting it wrong. Now, they know within 5 seconds of giving a result when they've got it wrong. Because in our leagues anyway, now, I would have thought they're all the same, because you have to come up our leagues to get to the top.
Yeah. And the beauty about it is the fact there isn't any, apart from the goal line stuff, there isn't any technology that they're using in the Premier League that they're not using in the lower leagues.
Yeah, and I say to them sometimes, you got that wrong, you know. Like, there's loads of occasions where something's happened, and he'll turn around and say, all right, I got it wrong. And then I've had referees come up to me a couple of minutes later and went, Loi, I'm sorry, mate, I got that wrong, I think I got that wrong. So they know within seconds of it before it. But as you said, it's a tough job for them. They've got to make a split decision there and then. Now, the Mark Halsey situation, I think it's being blown out of proportion. I think generally for these appeals to go in and for the referee to not get in any trouble, when he's being asked about the Aguero situation, the referee at the time, he's quite, I can't remember seeing that in terms of his elbow being raised, but I've seen the two of them jumping. Now, in Mark Halsey's point of view, someone might have said to Mark Halsey, okay, well, you didn't see it, so we'll move on and say that you didn't see it to get this process of appeal going through, so we can either ban him, or if you say you've seen it, we can't do nothing. When visually you can see Aguero, he's put his elbow up. Now, has that opened a can of worms for the FA, for the referees department, for Sky, for whoever it may be, for Neville, for Halsey? Well, we'll soon find out. But in terms of people talking on the pitch and saying things, I think it does happen. And I think referees will say, sorry, I got that wrong, oh, I didn't see it, or, you know. But in terms of appealing stuff and with the hierarchy of the referees, that's up to them to make the mistakes and, you know, but not the players.
With the amount of money and the amount of, I suppose, scrutiny on referees, they're now professionals as well. Their decisions are making huge, huge ramifications on down the line in football and on down the line in games. You know, to say that this has been going on for a while, is Neville right to say, look, something needs to be done here, we need to look into this?
I'd say, I personally just think, Lois, that there just needs to be more transparency, and I just think you just need to be a bit more honest. And it doesn't help when stuff like this comes out. And apparently, it was a Stoke player when he went back and say, and so Stoke will feel aggrieved that, oh, you know, they've picked on us where they wouldn't do like a bigger club or whatever. So they'll be thinking that. I just think there just needs to be more transparency.
Well, on that, right, do you know the managers can't go into the referee's room after a match for 30 minutes. By that time, you've got your analysis coming down, you've got someone who's an hierarchy of a referee coming down, so there's two people who report, putting reports on you in that game and situations and incidents. So for argument's sake, penalties, free kicks, elbows, whatever. Like, Doncaster centre forward got 4 stitches on his eye the other day. Similar situation, Aguero, but it weren't no contact. It weren't one of them. It was just the two of them went up, arms up, and he caught him. Referee didn't see nothing. So I thought it was fine. I didn't see no elbow. I didn't see none of this. I just thought it was a clash of heads or a clash of elbow, whatever it was. Fine, move on. If that's in the Premier League, there's video analysis coming around. People are going to go and watch it back. So depending on where you are in the league in terms of referees, whether you're doing League Ones, League Twos, Championships, Premier League, that's when you're going to get into a bit of trouble for it if you haven't seen it. But again, I think nowadays where you can't go in the referee's room and you have all these analysis coming down and the reporters who are reporting on you, potentially there could be something getting said in there to keep the peace in terms of, okay, well, we don't want a headache with that, we don't want a headache with this. But someone put a great quote on I think it was on Twitter about Gary Neville. Now, you know, Gary Neville saying, oh, this is corruption, this, that and the other. Well, what about all the times when referees have played 6, 7, 8 minutes time, 13 times. You know, so look, Gary Neville now is not a footballer. You know, he's not a manager. He's an analyst, isn't he? He's a top man at his job, and he's really good at it. So he's looking for some ammo for his show and for people to jump on him. And he probably wants to try and get to the bottom of it and get, you know, Sky and BT have referees in the studios now snitching on each other. So for me, I think somewhere along the line, there's a little bit of kneel between a few people with them referee situations.
Right, I'm hoping, touch wood, I will be speaking to Gary Neville over the weekend, right, and hoping to get his comments, hoping to get them recorded with the microphone. I don't know if he's going to talk on the record or off the record, but make sure you're with me this time next week. I'm working with him at the weekend. Sorry, I pick up that name there, but I want to see what the situation is. And he's tweeted here, I've spoken to Mark, he's verified the statement, huge problem. How transparent are the top referees in the game, and are we getting to a position now where we need younger, fresher referees, and why, apart from the money, why would you do it?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I think is the more we criticise them and the more we hammer them, the more pressure we put on, then people just won't go into it, and that'd be a concern, because, you know, the only people who'll want to go into it is people who maybe, oh, they want the attention or whatever, then you get the wrong sort of referee. So they need to try and support referees more. But, you know, in terms of you asking for transparency, I think I remember the early days of Sky, you get refs come on after the game and talk and say, you know, they did that, the famous one where was the Liverpool Everton where he took the goal kick and he blew straight away and it hit the fellow on the back and went in, and the referee come out and said, well, it was full time, so it just blew up, but even if it hadn't been, he wants the 10 yards, and it sort of diffused it a little bit. Well, it didn't, I mean, Everton, you still talk about it, but, you know, it diffused it a little bit straight after, and I think referees can do that.
Some personality referees can, like I've referees have refereed me. John Moss is a prime example. He's come right up the leagues, top fella. He actually refereed one of our games in pre-season. I think it was against Bolton or Wolves. And I had a bit of banter with him saying, what are you doing back down here? Now, I like John Moss because he's honest. He'll give you the effort and blind in your ear and say, go on, jog on. Or you know, someone will say to him, you're having a stinker, you're having a bad day at the office. He'll go, yeah, so are you. You know, little bit of banter with the referees, which I think doesn't when I say doesn't go, you know, it goes amiss, if you like, because I think you need that with them. If you're going to effing and blinding at them and pointing fingers, you get sent off for it now. We had referees coming in telling us what you can't do and what you can do. But going back to the young referees, what you're saying there, John, is there's too many young ones who are coming. And for me, anyway, for our level, they're making too many mistakes. And it's costing teams likes of us, Crew or League 2 or Bury, whoever it may be, Bolton, whoever the teams are in League 2 and League 1, it's costing. I don't think these referees are ready to an extent. Now, it was nice to have a Premier League referee the other day.
Do you notice it when you get a Premier League referee?
Yeah, million percent. Because as a captain, you have to go in an hour and 15 minutes before the start. They give you a team sheet, they give you the rules and regulations, tell you what to do, not what to do. Any problems, skipper, come and see us and whatnot.
I always wonder why you have to have that conversation, because it doesn't change. The rules don't change.
And I agree. Going back to, do you know where? Well, they do, because the referees change them by the minutes. honestly, it's crazy. The rules now, I don't think some of the referees know what they're doing, and some of the linesmen. Honestly, it baffles you sometimes. You're like, well, why? Why change it? Why just leave it? But going back to the referees coming out and saying their piece after games, well, you know, as a footballer, if you're being beat 4-0, you're in Monday morning, you're getting grilled. You were rubbish there, when you do this, when you do that. Now, as a referee, I don't know whether they get grilled that much in terms of, you know, when someone's watching them, do they say this, do they say that? I think referees, if there's a problem, they've got 30 minutes cool down after the game, and I think they should be questioned. As a manager or a player, if the press want you, you have a duty of care to go out and do that press. So why can't it be the same with referees, to give their thoughts on it and their analysis? You know, it could blow the situation out the water straight away. It could diffuse it within seconds of him saying, well, look, I'll be just dead honest with you, right? I didn't see the elbow. And if I did, I'd have sent him up. But I didn't, so we'll have to have a look at it. Thanks. And
but,
that's it.
Well, what about this? There seems to be an us and them situation with the FA, with the Premier League, and then the referees. They never feel like they're in sync with each other. It seems like there's this a group of people, the referees, who are there, they're looking after their own thing, and rightfully so in many ways. It's well worked, but when you see Halsey, it's not the first time he's come out. What do you call him? Graham Poole has come out and said stuff against him as well. You know, when you look at the way in which it's set up, it never feels linear.
Yeah, all very separate, and I'm not quite sure why it is. And then the problem with that is people then protect their own interests, don't they? You see it in any walk of life. The more you separate things, the more you say, oh, this is the group and this is the group's head and stuff like that. People kind of try and justify it themselves. And there's too much of a bunker mentality rather than, well, we're all in it for the good of the game. We're all in it to try and improve the game. And we all want, you know, as you know, as as many good decisions as possible, and for the people to go away talking about brilliant football. The more you separate things, I think you can kind of get away from that.
Do you know what though, John? Connor, they've got referees now working for Sky and BT at half time, or if there's an instance, it's coming through the mic, and he's telling. So basically, he's literally stitching his mate up who he's refereed with, because if he's saying yeah, definitely sending off, his mate's going in and going ah.
But what's the difference in that and what Gary Neville's doing? Because Gary Neville's, he's stitching up some of his mates as well, because there's going to be some ex-players or some players that he's played with when he sits in the Monday night in the chair in Sky Sports and says, look, he was rubbish, he didn't.
But is it what you said before though, which is that, you know, we're not going to have trouble getting footballers,
you know? I've asked briefly, quickly, I'll drop a name in. I asked Jamie Carragher about that, you know, because he trains in the Rotunda gym. I know Jamie quite well. And I was speaking to him about it once. He actually invited me up, went to Monday Night Football. Have a look on my Twitter, you'll see it all. I'm in there with Ed and Tunis and that. Anyway,
I've already seen it. And well played.
I asked him, I said to him, do you ever get any of the players texting you or phoning you, giving you a bit, saying, oh, you think you're a bit out of order there? He's gone, no, I've never had it. Now, I think that one of the reasons why him and Gary Neville never had it is because I think their analysis is second to none, isn't it? It's true to what you see. He just says it how it is. Now, look, I've never ever seen him slaughter Steven Gerrard, Carragher, if you like, because they're mates. But I think he said stuff along the lines like, yeah, we're just weren't good enough for Stevie today in terms of... So Stevie's not going to get on the phone and go, Jay, what are you doing here? Because top professional footballers and top professionals and top pros... Do you know when I've had a bad game? You're only kidding yourself if you come off the pitch and you've lost 4-0 and you were the goalkeeper thinking I've had a worldie today. But you've lost 4-0. That's not the case. So I think top professional footballers know when they've done wrong in terms of they haven't played the best. Referees, I think, is a bit different because you've got someone who I used to work with in terms of, you know, refereeing. Used to work with, used to bond together. I've done games and you've asked me about him, you've asked me about him. And then he's going on live TV straight away. And he's given his opinion of what the other referee missed. I think that's wrong.
Right. I'm sure this one's going to open a relative can of worms over the next couple of weeks. And we'll see how the referee's body deals with it. The referee body denies Halsey's lie claim has just come out here. I'm just reading that one at the moment. But look, I tell you what, let's rub our hands together and look forward to a weekend of Premier League football back. We'll touch a little bit on the internationals for which are happening tonight. Republic of Ireland involved and Wales involved as well. If you don't mind, we'll look at Manchester United, Manchester City, if that's all right with you. I know they're down the M62, but it's the first big one of the year, really. Aguero looks like he's out for the aforementioned incident with the elbow and stuff. This is going to be, I suppose, Pep and Jose peeing on their patch a little bit.
Why them two?
Why not?
Why them two? They're not playing.
So that shouldn't have any interest. We should be looking at just the 22 players.
The game, yes, Craigie. The game, the derby. It's a derby for Manchester. Oh, I like watching the Manchester derby, to be fair. Because City ends empty and Man United ends full. So it's nice to be there. But in terms of... she's got a giggle off the little fella there. It shouldn't be about the managers. It just shouldn't. I remember there was an incident at Real Madrid, Barcelona, Pep and Mourinho, and he... gouging his eye. That's all over the nonsense stuff for me. I don't like all that. I think it should be total football. Let's talk about the football and not the managers. But I'll guarantee you it'll be about them too.
I think it has to be about them too because of the success they've had at different teams. I suppose at one stage in their life they were both or are both pound for pound probably the best referee on the planet. They're going head to head. The money has been spent. The players have been brought in. They're responsible for bringing in those players and spending that money. And both of them have probably got a job that nobody in this room 12 months ago would have suspected that this was going to happen. So surely we're gonna look at it with our eyes open.
Look at it. It's huge at these big managers in the Premier League, but I'm with Lowy. I think it's a shame because I think it takes pressure off the players. I think, you know, if you make it too much about the managers, then the players go out thinking, well, you know, if I don't do well, then it's his fault. And I think there's a little bit too much buck passing. I don't like it in football. You can see it happening. You've seen it happen in Liverpool. I think when a manager's been under the pressure, the players start thinking, well, you know, he's just getting the blame here. Yeah, so I can, you know, yeah. I don't have to worry too much. He's going to get sacked soon, and I'll just start trying for the next fellow. I think the more you talk about managers, the more it takes pressure off the play, but not in a good way, not in a kind of, oh, they can go and play how they want. It's
then, this is the first time I've ever been bullied out of something. let's talk about the actual 11 versus 11.
Quickly, just on that, I think if Marcus Rashford comes off that pitch and he scored the winner 1-0, If I'm Marcus Rashford, I want the headline to be me.
Yeah.
Not Mourinho does one over Guardiola. No, it's about these kids. Not kids, but, you know.
Well, he is a kid,
Abramovich, yeah. Rashford is, yeah. Abramovich does the business, yeah. I'd rather see it about
Right, so let's have a chat about that. Aguero not playing, obviously he's out because of the elbow and stuff. So let's have a little look at it, about how United and City spent their money. And we will touch on Everton, we'll touch on Liverpool very shortly as well. Who has spent the money the wisest? And in fact, in United's case, there was no money spent in some cases, i.e. Yeah. Mr. Ibrahimovic is over there. Who's the best set-up team for this derby?
I think it's hard to say at the moment because we haven't seen Pogba. So, you know.
Get off the fence.
But no, it's okay. Ibrahimovic is absolutely brilliant by coming. People say, you know, is he too old? Whatever. He scored every game. He's looked like a Rolls Royce. He's looked absolutely fantastic. He's in even better shape than Lowy, you know. He looks fantastic. So, brilliant buy. And they did the centre half. They bought Bailey. They bought him quite early in the window. People saying that's quite a lot of money. But then you start seeing what Lowy's talking about before, what 30 million actually buys. Yeah, longer and longer. You know, Arsenal bought a defender, you know, 35 million right on deadline day. It's not as much as you thought. So I'd say United, but. Have bought better this summer, but I think what's interesting at City is that he's actually got a few more out of a couple of the players who were there already. So everyone's saying Raheem Sterling, for example, he'll move him out to bring his. He's been City's best player.
Yeah.
I think United are going to thrash them.
Define thrashing.
I'm talking 2-3 nils, 3-0.
Right? Why
for me is a thrashing? I just think the way Pep's going to set up, the way he's playing, the way he's pulling us to. Fullbacks into the central midfield. I think Mourinho's got one over on him in terms of a style of play. If you look at Mourinho, he's not rigid. He's not box 4-4-2 yet. There you go, two banks of four. There you go, just players. Not. He wants players moving all over the place. You've got your Rooney's, you've got your Rashford's, you've got your Ibrahimovic, who's looking $1 million, by the way, in the Premier League. I didn't think I'd ever say that.
Yeah, I have to eat my words as well. I said it. Yeah.
And without Aguero, it's a big miss. And I think, and in all honesty, I think Ibrahimovic could be too strong and too powerful for John Stones.
Right, Liverpool taking on Leicester. It is the 5:30 game on Saturday, the later game, and the official start of a new era at Anfield. The stand going to be open. Are you looking forward to being there, John?
Can't wait.
You're going to be there?
Of course, mate, yeah. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be great to have an extra...
You're in the main stand, John?
No, I'm in the centenary, so I get to look right at it. Yeah. I get to look right at it. I think it's going to make a big difference because what you've got is it's 8,000 more seats. I know a lot of them are going to corporates and things like that, but what you've got is a load of people who've been desperate for a season ticket all this time. They've been on waiting lists. I know two or three people who've managed to get one of these 4,000 seat tickets. They can't wait. And then we've had the free away games, which is only built in. Up is only heightened up. I think it's a 5:30 kickoff. People will be out early to watch the Manchester game. A few beers. I think it's going to be a brilliant atmosphere. And if the players can start fast and look to build on that, I think it could be a really good night for Liverpool.
Right, Lowy, we've got literally 30 seconds. Give me a Liverpool prediction, Liverpool Leicester, and then Sunderland Everton Monday Night Football.
Liverpool 2-1. Sunderland Everton. Sunderland at home.
Sunderland are at home, yes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Right, well, listen, lads, can I say a massive thank you? Thanks to Ryan Lowe from Crewe. Great insight into the world of professional football. Massive thank you there. John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap and also David Downey from the Blue Room. We'll be back with you tomorrow between 3 and 7, coming up very shortly. The legends are going to be here. Steve Hothersell's in. If you have any questions at Radio City Talk, drop them a tweet, 01517 08 1059. For myself, Connor Phillips, have a wonderful evening. Enjoy the sunshine while it's out there, and I'll see you tomorrow. Behave yourself.